story. This is the story of an act of aggression, of how it happened, and why it involved us. It tells clearly and simply the events that led to the shooting in Korea. But most important to us, it tells why we take our stand.
It's a warm day in June, 1950. Warm even for a day in the West Virginia mountains. More humid than usual for Skin Fork, West Virginia. Population, 150. Location in respect to a global map, along the 37th parallel, approximately 8,000 miles from Sojong, Korea.
My goodness. Oh, Eugene. What's got into you breaking a body's door down?
Excuse me, Miss Eric, but I...
Hey, come in and sit down, Gene. Just about finished my coffee. You want some?
Thanks, I done it.
Almost time for us to get down to the mine. What you come running here like crazy fool for?
Did you listen to the radio this morning? I've been listening to the 8 o'clock broadcast.
No, radio ain't working. Theodore, you ought to get a new tube. You said you was going to.
What'd you say? That why you was running?
Yeah. Ted, Miss Shadrick, we know each other real good.
Well, speak it out, Gene. Speak it out.
I don't know how to... Ken is dead.
Dead?
He was killed. In Korea.
Kenny? I got six... No, it's five now. Five sons and four girls. But he was the best there was. Never caused us a mite of worry.
I remember when he was born. Cute little devil. Ted, why was Kenny fighting?
Kenny was fighting against some kind of government, I hear.
In Korea, they said. Where's Korea, Ted?
Korea? Oh, that's out there somewhere. Out where Kenny was killed.
Out where Kenny was killed. Korea. 600 miles of mountains, mud, and long history. Spearing down out of Manchuria, laying its southern point into the warm sea of Japan, and inching it within 75 miles of the Japanese mainland. Why are we in Korea? What have we been doing there? What does it mean to me? The course of events begins for us in 1945.
And among the other decisions in this world-shaking agreement between the leaders of the United Nations here at Potsdam is the Soviet pledge that in due course, Korea would become free and independent. You may remember that at Cairo in 1943, the United States, China, and Great Britain made a joint declaration to this fact. Now, with the Soviet Union reaffirming it, it looks as though the Koreans...
September 8, 1945, American troops first entered Korea.
I've been in on deals before, but this one has them all licked.
What are you griping about now? The war's all over. This is a joyride. You heard what the captain said this morning before we took off?
Yeah, that's what's got me going around in circles. Huh? We're supposed to accept the surrender of all Japanese troops below the 38th parallel.
Yeah, and the Russians, the Japanese above the 38th parallel.
Why?
Why? Just to make it easier, taking care of all the Japanese troops in Korea since the Russians come from the north.
Seems to me we could do it okay.
The Russians are our allies, remember?
Yeah. Hey, Who do you think is smarter, Hitler or Stalin?
Well, Hitler ended up behind the eight ball, didn't he? At least Stalin knows where to stop.
Yeah, that's what's got me worried. If he knows where to stop, he knows where to begin, too.
Trouble was in the offing. The beginning of a long series of events and actions. The first indication we had that the 38th parallel had become more than just a convenient point on the map was just a few days later. Act 1, Iron Curtain going up.
Boy, it's a good thing they know how to make good trucks back in Detroit.
These hills sure are something.
We got much further to go, Lieutenant?
We should be in sight any minute now. Say, that wasn't there when I came through here the last time.
Hey, it's a roadblock.
Hold it. Look, there. Soviet troops.
What do they think they're doing?
Maybe there's some Japanese still loose around here. Signal the other trucks. I'll have a powwow with the commander. All personnel stay with their vehicles.
Good day.
I'm Lieutenant Jackson, in charge of this convoy. We're on our way to Wonsan to pick up fertilizer and coal.
Wonsan, huh? I was there until 3 days ago. Do you have any cigarettes, cigars, or tobacco? I like American tobacco.
Then take this pack of cigarettes with my compliments.
Oh, thank you. Fertilizer coal, huh? You know, this is a peculiar country, no? One half has all the vital ingredients for industry, and the southern half, your half, can only be used for farming.
Our half? Mm. I didn't know the country had been split into two parts.
Well, that is not what I meant. It is simply that the 38th parallel here seems to be a convenient dividing line.
I see. Have you been having any trouble around here?
No trouble.
Then why the roadblock?
Oh, that? Oh, orders of the Soviet military commander. There is to be no travel between the north and the south unless he gives the permission.
I wasn't notified when we left Seoul. There's an agreement between the Soviet commander and...
Oh, that I know, but there are exceptions. For the purpose of internal security, this restriction is most necessary.
Security against whom? Us?
No. But there are dangerous elements.
All I want to do is to get that fertilizer and coal that's waiting for me in Wonsan.
I am under orders.
Then I'll get permission from your commander.
That is impossible. I am the commander. Permission is denied. Ah, these cigarettes are most fine. Most fine.
Major?
Yes, sir.
Have you finished that survey?
That's all here, sir.
Would you mind giving me a verbal digest? I'll examine the report later.
Well, briefly, Colonel, this is the situation. Ever since the Soviets closed the border to all traffic, our agriculture situation has been deteriorating. We must import seeds, fertilizer, and all the rest.
I've tried logic with the Russians, but they shed logic like a duck sheds water. Not that they're stupid, far from it. But the orders are coming from higher up. Seems part of a well-thought-out plan.
Well, not respect. Intelligence reports the Soviets have told the Koreans above the 38th parallel that we're at fault. They're bringing in food from Manchuria and China to prove to the North Koreans that it's the Russians who are their real friends.
Yeah. Well, they know as well as I know the sun will come up tomorrow that the 38th parallel was a temporary line to be used only during the Japanese surrender. Now they use it to split the country in two parts. Korea depends upon its every section. There's got to be unity. Without it, disaster.
Is there anything we can do?
All we can do right now is keep our eyes and ears open and wait. Wait and see what'll happen.
The hope for peaceful settlement of the Korean problem was translated into action. The United States did its best to obtain Soviet cooperation during the Moscow Conference of Foreign Ministers in December 1945. And while the delegates tried to piece the Korean Peninsula together again, Soviet military officers were training thousands of North Koreans in aggressive warfare, backed with Soviet equipment. While in the South, below the 38th parallel, the country was trying desperately to overcome 40 years of Japanese rule, working hard to sustain itself economically, socially, and politically. But back to the Moscow Conference. Here's what came out of it.
Great Britain, the United States, and Russia agreed that a temporary Korean democratic government should be set up for all Korea.
The United States and Soviet commands in Korea were to form a joint commission which would work with Korean Democratic parties in order to form the new government that would lead to full independence. Also, a trusteeship was to be set up in Korea for a period of up to 5 years. This was agreed to by China, Great Britain, the United States, and Russia.
Sounded good on paper, didn't it? After all, under Japanese rule, the Koreans never really participated in government, industry, or the professions. People have to crawl before they can walk, and the Koreans had a lot of learning to do before they could manage their own affairs. Frankly, the Koreans didn't like the idea of trusteeship in South Korea.
And I tell you, the words that have been spoken in Moscow are merely a blind to hide the real purpose. That purpose is the enslavement of the Korean people. Listen to me, sons of the field. For most of my life, I lived under domination. But I do not intend for it to occur again. Remember 1905. The Japanese also established a trusteeship. 5 years later, Korea was part of the Japanese Empire. Will you stand by for history to repeat itself? Later today, all you sons of the field must hear me, must march in the parade of protest. Everyone must be there. Demonstrate for Korean independence. We will live as free men. Let us show the world where we stand.
No, they didn't like the trusteeship agreement in South Korea. The South Koreans blew off steam, but then quieted down when they realized that we had no desire other than to see the Koreans govern themselves. We pointed to the Filipinos and how we gave them their complete and full independence. In North Korea, they didn't like it either. But when they said so, this is the sort of thing that happened.
Is this the man?
It is the same.
You will come with us.
But what have I done?
You were heard to say that you objected to the trusteeship. Come.
There is a variety of ways to formulate public opinion. The Soviets know them all. The objector who disappears and never is seen again is a constant reminder that the wagging of a tongue may be like shutting your eyes as you walk across a busy street. But there are other methods, and the Soviets use them.
I have performed my mission, sir.
Yes, I see. You've carried out your orders well.
My men have surrounded the entire area where the parade was going on. Everyone who is in the parade carrying banners in protest of the Moscow Agreement, all of them are ready to hear you speak.
And the ones who are merely marching, they are being held too?
Yes, sir.
Then it is time. I will use the microphone. Have the public address system turned on all the way. Attention. Quiet. Quiet. Listen to me. You are not under arrest. Not this time. But you must learn a lesson. You are never to question our judgment. Never, do you hear? However, since you have seen fit to criticize your leaders, you must be punished. All of you, you women and children too, will turn in your food carts to the men who will pass through your lines. If there is any disturbance whatsoever, my men will shoot to kill. Do you understand? When you are hungry and your bellies cry with pain, remember who did this to you. The Americans. It is the American imperialists who divided your country in half. The Americans who prevent us from going south of the 38th parallel to buy food for you. Remember that. All right, turn it off. Order my car. I left a good dinner to come here. Such good caviar.
Intimidation and lies. The tools of Soviet power in North Korea. Then suddenly the agitation in South Korea stopped as quickly as it had begun.
Well, Kim, how come it's so quiet? A couple of days ago, your people were all full of vinegar. Today, the city's like a graveyard.
It is true that at first we were upset over the news of the trusteeship.
But it was the communists who fanned the fever and passions of my people. Now the communists have received new orders from their Soviet masters. So there is quiet. I hasten to make clear that after a little contemplation, my people have great faith in America. You made new friends by doing nothing.
I don't know if I follow you, Kim.
This. By allowing the people to shout and parade and not ordering the troops to arrest them or beat them, you have demonstrated what you have been saying about the application of democracy. This meaning will be not lost on my people.
Check off your scoreboard so far. The 38th parallel suddenly becomes a permanent boundary line in violation of the Potsdam Agreement.
By obvious actions, the Soviets ignored the Moscow Agreements by subjugating individual freedom and conveniently forgetting that they were supposed to encourage the Koreans to full independence.
But the Soviets weren't done yet. The Moscow Agreement was to be finally and completely wrecked in as neat a stalling tactic as ever devised. This is the way the demolition crew got to work. At a meeting of the Joint American and Soviet Commissions on the Establishment of Korean Independence.
Gentlemen, the Soviet Union agrees that a provisional Korean government should be set up. But there is a question as to which political parties and social organizations should be included.
Well, the American point of view is that there's no question. All parties should be included or it'll not be a representative government.
Do you mean, sir, that the rebels should be a part of the new government?
Rebels? What rebels?
My associate did not use the correct word. He meant the unstable elements in the population. Those extremists who feel that our agreement for a 5-year trusteeship is contrary to the interest in Korea. Now, that is silly, and we know it. Do we not, General?
Well, I know this. If you're saying that you want to leave out any Korean party that objects to the trusteeship agreement, then you're leaving out the majority of the Korean people. I see no reason to exclude anyone just because he doesn't agree with you.
The government of North Korea must not include these rebels.
Government of North Korea? May I remind you that this commission is here to set up one government for all of Korea.
2 years of wrangling, delaying, stalling tactics.
The United States will not agree to a communist minority representing the majority of the Korean people. The United States proposes...
No.
You're trying to gag the majority. Your government promised to recognize the principles of freedom of speech.
No.
The United States suggests...
Yet.
The United States recommends...
Yet.
The United States...
Net!
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 Net! Net!
While Soviet rejections were echoing, while the Soviet vice inexorably tightened on freedom in North Korea, Soviet tacticians and Soviet military equipment were being used to train Korean troops in offensive warfare, another direct violation of the Moscow Agreement. But we kept trying. Kept hoping that somehow, somewhere along the line, we could obtain Soviet cooperation. In August 1947, the United States sent a note to Moscow.
Dear Mr. Molotov, the United States government cannot in good conscience be a party to any delay in the fulfillment of its commitment to Korean independence. And proposes that the four powers,
adhering to the Moscow Agreement, meet to consider how that agreement may be speedily carried out. There is also a proposal that the two zones in Korea should hold elections, that they should be voting by secret ballot, and so on. Our reply will start. Dear Mr. Marshall, the Soviet government considers inexpedient your proposal to submit the question of the establishment of a provisional Korean democratic government to the consideration of the governments of the four countries. The American proposal does not correct the situation
now existing in Korea. The division of the country into two zones, the liquidation of which all efforts should be directed. But to the contrary, consolidates this abnormal situation.
September 1947. in the United Nations.
And the United States respectfully asks that the General Assembly of the United Nations consider the stalemate in Korea.
Miet.
The feeling that something was wrong began to take shape in many American minds.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Joe, put that paper down.
Oh, what's the matter now?
You're not eating. I spent almost an hour getting breakfast together.
You ought to try reading the news sometime.
Who's going to clean the house, a genie?
Oh, you're getting like those Russians.
Me?
Yeah, always with excuses.
All right. Now, what's bothering you? China, Yugoslavia, or Bulgaria?
Korea.
That's a country?
What's the use?
Sorry.
We made an agreement with the Russians about Korea, and now they're going back on their word.
Well, what's new about that? Their promises are worth about as much as a wooden ruble.
And this is veto business. Every single time we ask the United Nations to look into the whole mess, the Russians say niet, and then they go right on violating the agreement they signed.
Well, what are you getting so all excited about? Eat your cereal.
Cereal. I'm not so old I can't remember when the Nazis were breaking promises, too. That's what I'm getting excited about.
Know what I think? The Russians are just bluffing. If they feel happy acting like big shots, let them. They'll get over it in time.
November 1947, and the United Nations makes several important decisions.
Elections will be under the observation of a United Nations commission.
The Soviet representative refuses to vote.
Once the new Korean government is established, the United States and Soviet forces will be withdrawn, if possible, within 90 days.
Gee, reminds me of election night in the States.
Yeah, even the bonfires.
Well, it's been an easy night, no trouble.
That's what I like.
Hey, who were the big brass around here earlier?
Part of the United Nations Commission, looking over the election to make sure everything was copacetic.
Well, I couldn't have anything to complain about here. Went off just like at home.
Yeah, I sure wonder what they'll find when the Russians put on elections up north.
June 1948. And the United Nations Commission on Korea issues a statement that the election in the southern zone was
a valid expression of the free will of the electorate in those parts of Korea which were accessible to the commission, and in which the inhabitants constituted approximately 2/3 of the people of all Korea.
Get that. An impartial committee representing the United Nations, the world's organization for peace, put its stamp of approval on the elections in our part of Korea. And what about elections above the 38th parallel?
Are you in command here?
Yes, who are you?
Colonel Martin. I'm accompanying the United Nations Commission.
You cannot cross the border.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll stay here and pick up the commission when they return.
They cannot cross the border.
I told you I wouldn't go with them.
There is no difference. I have my orders. No one from the southern zone is to cross the border.
Look here, ma'am. These people represent the United Nations.
The border is closed.
Well, you must admit them. The United Nations voted to have these men supervise the election in your zone.
The Soviet delegate did not vote.
It makes no difference. It was a majority vote.
The elections will be held tomorrow in accordance with established Soviet principles of democracy.
Look here. We informed you people days ago that the commission was coming in. Why didn't you refuse permission then?
That is not for me to say. I have received my orders and they will be carried out. No one crosses the border. Anyway, there is no need for anyone to oversee our elections. Assure those in your car they will be thoroughly democratic. Next, you step up and mark the ballot. Place check marks next to the following names. Good. Next.
Free and democratic elections. Can you possibly get 99.6% of the votes cast that way? And what about the 0.4%? The Soviets probably figured that would be an indication of how free the elections were, if 0.4% was the total opposition vote. And although more than 30 nations recognized the right of the South Korean government as the rightful government of Korea, the Soviets claimed that their puppets were the rightful rulers of the land that juts down out of Manchuria and lays its southern point into the Sea of Japan. In April 1949, at the United Nations,
Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast comes to you from Lake Success, New York, temporary home of the UN. We're waiting to bring you the result of the application of the New Republic of Korea for membership in the United Nations. It looks like a shoo-in, except for one fact. The Soviet Union, being a permanent member of the Security Council, has the power of veto. Will she use it? Soviet spokesman of Constant... Oh, one moment, please. A message has just been handed me. Yes. Yes, the results are in. The vote was 9-2 in favor of admitting Korea, but the Soviet Union and the Ukraine voted against the action. Because the Soviet Union is a permanent member, its opposing vote constitutes a veto. And that's all for now from Lake Success.
June 19th, 1949.
We hate to leave. We liked it so, but the UN says we gotta go.
Shut up, Wayne.
Huh?
Yeah, he thinks he's Crosby.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with my voice.
I'd have just as soon stayed here.
That's a pretty nice place. You know, I like the Koreans. They learn fast.
Are all of us pulling out?
Yeah, just a few hundred guys are sticking around as advisors.
The Russians pulling out, too?
Who knows?
The United Nations Commission was refused permission to observe the withdrawal of Soviet troops, a direct defiance of the United Nations. Just another in a long series, a show of bad faith to the peace-loving peoples of the world. And then, a year later, on the morning of June 25th, 1950... hell broke loose as the communist-trained Koreans, using Soviet weapons, plunged across the 38th parallel. The communist pattern was clear. North Korea could not tolerate a free and democratic South Korea. For freedom has a way of catching on and spreading when given half a chance. The United Nations asked for aid in repelling this aggression. We responded to the call, and the United Nations sanctioned our action. We had gone into action for the first time in history as representing the freedom-loving nations of the world, the United Nations. And on June 27th, the president said,
"The attack upon Korea makes it plain beyond all doubt that communism has passed beyond the use of subversion to conquer independent nations and will now use armed invasion and war."
Yes. It is now crystal clear that there is a point where communism must be stopped. This point has already been reached in Korea. The issue is now being faced because it can no longer be postponed. It is too dangerous for that. Therefore, we and the other peace-loving peoples who belong to the United Nations have taken our stand. Out where Kenny Shadrick of Skin Fork was killed. A land of mountains, mud, history, and hope. Hope and faith among the millions of people that aggression, lies, and brutality be finally and forever ended. The clear, honest phrases of freedom must be backed by the strong arm of just force. The United States and the United Nations are the source of that strength. Remember that. In all your actions in the days and months to come, the source of your power and strength comes from the free peoples of the world.
Just heard This Is the Story, featuring William Woodson as narrator in We Take Our Stand. Original music was composed by Earl Lawrence with musical direction by Michel Perrier. We Take Our Stand was written for This Is the Story by Steve Allen, produced and directed by Will Scott. Marx Hartman speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.